You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, welcome back to the Dungeon of Doom. I am Kai Moinke, Lions beat writer for MLive, joined as always by Ben Raven. Ben, it's been a minute since I've seen you, which is a new endeavor for us on the Lions beat.
Yeah, I know, man. It's it hasn't been a long enough break. No offense to anybody I'm about to see in Indy, but no doubt about it. It's been that part of the year where it's like, oh, all right, I'm sitting at home with nothing to do today. Cool.
Yeah, which usually lasts for a few weeks and you can recharge and orient yourself toward the off season, and you can have time for, I don't know, getting ready for the NFL draft and understanding prospects. And it's crazy because I feel like I'm just now settling into the off season, Ben. And it's 10 a.m. on a Monday right now. I'm getting ready to pick you up in like 4 hours to go to the NFL Combine. And more than ever, I feel like, Ben, I need the NFL Combine to kind of get acquainted with some of these players. I understand very well the Lions' dynamics and what they need and what they're looking for. But I, just with the length of the season and the football they were playing, this you know, the stakes and all that, like, I did not think about the NFL draft this year, frankly, until I don't know, February.
And it's no February. Exactly. I was looking back at last year's post and I ran my first NFL mock draft roundup like January 11th, man. We had like three more games left to cover this year, so it's definitely, I mean, no amount of college football I watch or no amount of content I consume could have prepared me for the lack of NFL draft care we were forced to do this year. And also the Lions picking 29th. It's like, we're figuring out that new world while trying to figure out all these guys. And yeah, I'm with you, man. This will be my fifth combine trip. And this feels more important for me than any of the other ones, just because it's like, oh my God, I need this event this week. Like you said, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Like we both understand the Lions well, what kind of players they like to target, mm-hmm. the positions they need. We also understand, you know, they don't always draft based on need. I mean, the trade back for Jahmyr Gibbs last year, I think, is a pretty good example of that. Even the trade up for Jameson Williams a couple years ago, I think also exemplifies, mm-hmm. like, they're just looking for the best football players possible. And I think the success you've seen with Gibbs, I mean, they could have gotten an edge rusher or whatever that they needed at the top of last year's draft, but they thought Gibbs was the best player in space in that draft. And they're like, F it, like, let's go for it.
Yeah.
And he was a huge difference maker. I think really is evidence of, you know, why the best drafters typically go for best player available rather than just say, oh, okay, we've got this need. Right. We got to check it off at, you know, with our first pick, and then, okay, the next need and so on.
Yeah. No, just the work that Brad did last year and just kind of we covered that after his year in press conference, but just like, when that guy has a gut feeling, like, he's chasing it. When this staff, when Brad and Dan are convicted on someone, they don't give a crap what anybody's going to say. And they've earned themselves a ton of wiggle room to like continue down that path based on the results they got out of these last couple of drafts. But yeah, man, just the risk to take Gibbs. I mean, it wasn't a risk in their eyes. It was a risk to the outside world and ours, but like, it's hard to disagree with anything they did. I mean, it's hard to disagree with about 98% of the stuff they've done for 3 years in this event.
We understand all that stuff pretty well. I think my point was just, you know, like, I just don't know these players as well as I typically know draft prospects going into this process. you know, we'll be talking to Brad and Dan Campbell down in Indy later this week, and then like 300 of the nation's best college football players before Saturday is through, and we point the Honda CRV back toward Detroit. Mercifully, Ben, I don't know about you, but like, I'm cashed more after this thing than I think anything else we do on this beat. Like, it's just a 5-day onslaught drinking from a hose, and I think this year, coming into this process with less understanding of the draft than I typically do in most years, I'm anticipating mayhem.
Absolutely. No, it's like I was looking at the calendar this morning with just the line that Elaine wrote, Ben and Indy, and I'm like, that's a really long line, man. I forget about this every year. Like, yeah, no doubt about it.
We'll have some good eats though. I'm looking forward to it. It's always nice seeing people too. Although there's just usually more of a break before I see like your ugly face or Justin Rogers or whatever.
Exactly.
It feels like we just wrapped up the other day and now we're back on the road. But it's good, and I'm excited. I really am excited to dive into this draft process because the Lions are so close, obviously. Real good roster, as we saw last year. Pretty much everyone is under contract for next year. I know there's some holes at guard, for example, and they need a corner. They need an edge rusher. I mean, every team has needs, but as far as needs go, the Lions are in pretty damn good shape compared to the other contenders. I think it's safe to say they'll go into next season as a Super Bowl favorite. I know you did the odds post the other day. I think like fourth or fifth best Super Bowl odds going into next year, which is pretty crazy. Okay. But that all being said, Ben, we have dropped our first mock drafts of the offseason, despite knowing very little about this draft comparatively to most years. But again, they have some predefined needs, particularly on defense. They had them last year too, and they went mostly offense at the top of the draft. And still need that edge rusher, still need that cornerback. I mean, those are needs they really felt last year, and they didn't get guys at the trade deadline, and it's something they really felt down the stretch. The pass defense especially was a huge problem. I think they allowed like 320 passing yards per game in the playoffs. They had a bottom five pass defense for the year. So a lot of needs coming into this mock draft season, and then, of course, the draft season with regard to edge rushers and corners. But again, there's that sneaky need at offensive line too. I'm just kind of teasing the folks about what to expect from our two mocks. So let's just roll in, like maybe talk real briefly, Ben, about how we see the top, 10, 15 picks shaking out, and then we'll get to our Lions picks after that. We're pretty much identical at the top, you and I, with Caleb Williams going number one overall to Chicago, another quarterback, Drake May, going number two to Washington, Jaden Daniels going number three to New England, before getting to the non-quarterbacks, Marvin Harrison Jr., the receiver out of Ohio State, going number four to Arizona. We're identical on that. And even at number five, we both had offensive tackles going to the Fighting Jim Harbaughs out in Los Angeles. Just chose different ones. I guess, like, for me, Ben, the drama kind of starts at number three. Mm-hmm. I think New England could be under consideration for Marvin Harrison Jr. I definitely gave it some thought. I just feel like when you're kicking off a new era, as New England is, you've had the quarterback issues they've had. Ideally, you won't be picking this high again for a while.
Right.
I think for me, it was, this might be a little high for Jaden Daniels, but he's such a great electric playmaker. And I think he's someone who could grow at the next level. And New England just can't really pass up the opportunity to take a quarterback this high.
No, exactly. That was the point too. It's like, man, Marvin Harrison Jr. is clearly the best player here, but like Jaden Daniels is like a lot more than just a consolation prize. Like, yeah, he's getting a massive QB bump to go number three, but like, this is a potential stud. I mean, that's a 5-year college starter who adds like more than 1,000 yards and 10 scores on the ground while breaking Joe Burrow's records at LSU. Like, he's a legit prospect and experienced guy. And I mean, it's just, you can't win in this league without a quarterback, and the Patriots don't even have like a backup quarterback right now. So they need something at that position for sure.
Ouch.
Yeah. Sorry, Mayo. Yeah,
Mac is catching a stray there. I'm just looking at your mock draft again from M Live. One difference maybe we have is you got Atlanta taking JJ McCarthy out of Michigan. What did you like about the matchup there?
You know, it's just the simple fact that a garage can only hold three Lamborghinis without a single driver. You know, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, I think we all know what their potential is in this league, and they flashed it. And as high as I was on Desmond Ridder 2 years ago, I'm here to admit I was wrong. I was.
I tried to tell you, Ben. I tried to tell you.
I did.
I came back from the Senior Bowl, and I'm like, Ben, no, just no on Desmond Ridder. No, that you wouldn't listen.
That was one of those guys. It was the Malik versus Ridder year, and I was so firmly like, Ridder, man, Ridder. And it's just like 2 years later, that's not the long-term answer. You know, maybe he's a good backup down the line, but I'm higher on JJ than most because I don't care what he was asked to do at Michigan. I know he's a top flight recruit. I know he's got athleticism. I've seen him rip tight window throws. And I mean, he's only throwing 18, 19 times a game. So when you flash the it factor that I have seen from him, I just think Atlanta's offense is pretty well set up to handle a rookie quarterback. I mean, and there's a good chance McCarthy's better out of the gates than Ridder has ever been there. So that's kind of why I went there. I'm like, there's too much invested in this offense not to have a quarterback. So that's why McCarthy goes in my top 10 there. That's my hottest take. And I even gave it the Paul Pascalani hello.
Well, that makes me feel a little better that you even acknowledge that's a little rich for JJ, because I didn't watch a ton of Michigan football, but I certainly watched some, and I watched their playoff run, and I see a guy extremely skilled. He made some tight window passes in that playoff run. I'm like, I mean, the one against Ohio State is probably the one that sticks out the most, like through a keyhole into the end zone, based off a guy's back. He's got a great arm. He can really run too. He's got a prototypical skill set for the pro game. But you alluded to it, Ben. Like, he's kind of untested just because the Michigan offense was so run heavy. And I watched some of those playoff games, really intrigued to see how JJ would handle the stakes. And presumably when they face better teams and better defenses, that he would have to do more. Yeah. And I wanted to see how he matched up with that kind of challenge. And he still didn't really have to do a lot, you know, and he had the kind of clunky start in the championship game and then really turned it down after that. But I like him. I have him going number 11. I just think quarterbacks typically rise in the NFL draft, even if they have holes in their game. There's just so much need for quarterbacks. There's not enough good ones in the NFL, and getting quarterbacks on rookie contracts is such an advantage because it's cost controlled, and particularly in the first round, because you get the fifth year option. So I don't see McCarthy going in the top 10. I don't think he's a top 11 talent per se, but I do have him going number 11 to Minnesota, just because, again, like, you need to have quarterbacks in this league. I don't know, guaranteeing Kirk Cousins, you know, $50 million every year is necessarily a great way to build long-term success. And I think that McCarthy would be a nice skill set fit in Minnesota for what they want to do. But there's so much projection with the pick, and it's really interesting for a guy who's a multi-year starter at a major program, playoff experience, big game experience and all that, to be so untested and to have so much projection in the evaluation. But that's kind of where I stand with JJ.
Yeah, and I mean, if he gets past 8, I mean, 11 was my second choice for him too, because I mean, Kirk Cousins is my age and he just tore his Achilles. So like, I have to start like thinking about that too. It's just, so I hear you. I think we literally just had different, you had Dallas Turner at 8 and I had Dallas Turner at 11. So that's cute. But yeah, JJ's gonna, it's interesting. I just think Atlanta, they need something and they can't wait around.
Even if JJ falls out of the top 10, I don't think he waits very long. Minnesota needs a quarterback at number 11. Denver definitely needs a quarterback at number 12. Yeah. You know, there's no way Sean Payton is looking at Russell Wilson's face for another year. And then Las Vegas is at 13. And Jimmy G, I believe he's already been cut, right, after the drug.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have issues at quarterback as well. And even the Saints looking at 14. You know, they have Derek Carr under contract for a couple of years, but it's Derek Carr. So I just don't think that JJ McCarthy he's not going to have to wait long to hear his name, despite, and I love his game, just to be super clear. Like, he has a prototypical skill set for the NFL and the NFL game. I just don't think he's been tested like you usually see in a first round pick, despite the games he started at Michigan, the big games he started. And it's kind of a unique situation.
What's going on, everyone? Ben Raven with MLive's Detroit Lions beat here. Just want to point you in the direction of MLive's new Dungeon of Doom Insider Tech service. Sign up now for a 14-day free trial. And then after that, it's only $4.99 a month to text with myself, to text with Kyle Monkey, and to text with Corey Woods. And not only are you going to get updates and analysis from us with some one-on-one individual conversations on the side, but you're going to be on the front line to be featured on MLive's Dungeon of Doom podcast when we come calling for mailbag questions. Once again, check out joinsubtext.com/Dungeon of Doom. 14-day free trial, $4.99 after that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's roll on to the Lions pick. I think that's what everyone wants to hear. anyway, they obviously have major needs at corner, which is the way that I went. So I had them taking, Ben, at 29, I had the Lions taking Alabama corner Kool-Aid McKinstry. And no, it's not just because of the name, although I would welcome it.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. It's I mean, all pro name. And for me, he was cornerback 5. So I had Terron Arnold going 13th to Las Vegas, Cooper DeJean going 20th to Pittsburgh. And I love the Toledo kid, Quinyon Mitchell. Mm-hmm. But have him going 22nd to Philly. I just think after his, I mean, first of all, the numbers are ridiculous on that guy. And then his week at the Senior Bowl really solidified. Like there's no way he's dropping out of the first round. And if he was there at 29th, I would be shocked. That kid can really play. I have him going 22nd to Philly. And then I had Nate Wiggins, really good all-around corner, going 25th to Green Bay. There's not a lot of like elite corner prospects in this draft. I would be surprised to see anyone go in the top 10, but there's a lot of really good ones. You could see 5 or 6 in the back half of the first round. And I think that really lines up well for what the Lions need. I mean, you can attack the pass defense in different ways with edge help and so on. I just found more value at corner, and they really, really need a corner. Anyone out there who watched Lions football last year, watched Lions football down the stretch, they already know what I'm talking about. I mean, Cam Sutton, solid player, not a cornerback one. And we saw that this year. I looked it up, Ben. He had the second worst quarterback rating allowed among all corners in the league who played at least half their team's defensive snaps. It was really bad. He was particularly bad down the stretch, trying to match up with some really good receivers, to be fair. But again, this is the NFL. Nearly every team is going to have some really good receivers. That's why you need a top corner, and the Lions don't have that. They had all kinds of issues at cornerback too. They got filleted last year, had bottom 5 pass defense and so on. The need is obvious, and Kool-Aid McKinstry, I think, is a phenomenal player. 6'1", 195, at least that's what he was listed at. Last season allowed 19 of 39 passing for 205 yards. Like allowing 19 receptions in a season is crazy. But for me, the 39 targets is like the most impressive number of all with McKinstry. I mean, for example, Terron Arnold, another first round corner prospect from Alabama, he was targeted twice as much, which I think says a lot about McKinstry and how good that guy is. There's some questions about his long speed, and I'll be real curious to see how he tests at the combine. But he is a pretty solid lock for the first round, and I think an excellent fit for Detroit. Ben, you went a different direction. We'll get to that in a moment. But what do you think of my pick of Kool-Aid McKinstry at number 29?
I'll just tell you this. I mean, if Kool-Aid was on the board when I was doing my mock, that would have been my pick too. I had Kool-Aid going off the board at number 22 to the Philadelphia Eagles. We were kind of all in that same cluster, but Kool-Aid, I mean, that's if he lands in Detroit, that's a day one starter. That's a day one starter opposite Cam Sutton. I mean, and I think we're in that new world of doing these mocks so late, picking 29th. It's like you start falling in love with some of these guys, and then you're sending them to different teams, and then all of a sudden you're at your pick, and you're like, oh, crap, what's left on the board right now? The corners, the guards, the tackles are depleted. But no, Kool-Aid, man. And I think at 29th, like when you see production from someone like Kool-Aid like that, and you look back and he's a five star, he's a blue chip, he's a top 15 recruit. I mean,
right.
That's legit. Like, you're looking for that ceiling, you're looking for that talent, you're looking for that athleticism. And I mean, his performance at Alabama, I mean, he was not a letdown. I mean, he delivered on that blue chip status for sure. I mean, top 40 PFF cornerback, I think 2 years running by their grade standards. But yeah, I mean, Kool-Aid, man, that's a legit cornerback there. And just on the cornerback topic, there are some interesting names that could fall to the Lions. I mean, it's kind of hard to figure out how these corners are going to fall. Like, I had Cooper DeJean, the Iowa cat, my first off the board at 12. That might be a little high for even him. I mean, I could see Kool-Aid, Wiggins, or even Terrion Arnold like being CB1 in this draft. I do think those four guys are close. And then you got the Missouri cat. I'm blanking on his name. Enos
Rakestra.
Yeah. And he's I mean, I read your piece that you did out of that Matt Miller draft call, and it's just like, then looked him up and I'm like, yeah, that's a fit there too. So there's a couple outside cornerbacks that could be there. But honestly, man, I think Kool-Aid is a tailor-made fit for the Lions and Aaron Glenn's defense and how they want to play, and also bringing some support to Cam Sutton. I mean, he's not gonna help Cam Sutton go one-on-one with guys, but having another corner allows you to shift those safeties, just gives you a better chance. They need a CBT so bad, a CB1B so bad. We'll call it that.
I love too that he, like you said, he was a blue chip recruit, one of the top recruited guys in the country, and he goes to Alabama and plays a lot of snaps as a true freshman, which is hard to do at Alabama, and particularly in that secondary, which is just mm-hmm. freaking loaded every year. And then he becomes a full time starter for the following 2 years, and just was one of the best corners in the country. Obviously, while matching up with, you know, the great talent that you have in the SEC, and his numbers are outstanding playing in the SEC. He was a great return man as well. You know, I think the big question with him is whether he's even there at 29. With the way my mm-hmm. board fell, he was still there, but you could see him going anywhere in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think one of the point I'm concerned, then we can move along, is it's interesting that Brad Holmes in just three drafts has targeted Alabama with early round picks. Right. You know, he clearly trusts that program, the pedigree under Nick Saban, traded up for Jamison Williams, traded back for, you know, and to get into position to take Jahmyr Gibbs last year, cause he liked Gibbs so much. I mean, they were really targeting that guy once Devon Witherspoon was taken. Mm-hmm. And then of course there's Brian Branch, you know, and I think that's a great example of a guy who, like, maybe he didn't test like super great at the combine, but when you put on the tape, it's like, man, this guy plays fast. This guy is a good player. And when Branch fell to day two, Brad Holmes went and got him, and he was one of the best slot corners in the whole NFL right away. And I just think that speaks to the pedigree of those kinds of players coming out of there. I think that Brad Holmes clearly has a lot of trust in Nick Saban types coming out of that system. And I think that a guy like McKinstry, if he's there, just checks so many boxes for this regime.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, the testing is what the testing is this week, but another aspect that Brad Holmes has proven himself in that you just touched in is being able to decipher play speed from straight line speed. And that, yeah. I mean, they've really hit on those type of guys.
Let's get to your mock draft, Ben. You saw things a little bit differently than I did. We both obviously understand the cornerback need, but in your mock draft, you had 6 guys at corner already off the board before 29, including all the guys that I had, McKinstry included, as well as Enos Rakestraw, the guy from Missouri, who, again, I like a lot, and I think is a good Lions culture fit. I just think he might be a little small. I have some concerns about, like, I want to see him up close before I put him in the first round, because I have some issues there. But you found more value on the offensive line. You had them taking Troy Potenu out of Washington. Offensive tackle at Washington, only allowed 3 sacks, but projects to play anywhere across the offensive line. I guess, tell me a little bit about this guy and why you like the fit. He's your 8th offensive lineman off the board, which I also thought was interesting. So that's pretty far down the board at that particular position. What about the value or the fit turned you on to this kid?
Just the fact that when I watch him play, he's like an agile Jonah Jackson. I mean, he is so aggressive. He's a mauler, but he's got the quick feet and the quick hands that you look at this guy. And I mean, everyone from Mel Kiper to Dane Brugler to Field Yates as this guy is a potential Pro Bowl guard. Like, his fit inside at guard might be better than tackle. And I see a potential starting tackle here, but I will go with the thought that he could be one of those starting guards, whether it's Jonah or Graham on the other side, because, like, we talked about on our last podcast, Taylor Decker's ending a contract here. Those two starting guards are free agents. I just looked at this guy, 6'4", 317 pounds, 3 sacks in 3 years as a starter, has moved around a little bit more. I just look at that guy, his style, and I'm just like, yeah, that's a starting guard in year one, and then that helps you make tougher decisions in year two with him, because Penei Sewell could slide to left tackle, and if you want to move Troy Fautanu to the right tackle, then that's another option right there. But I just see he's got the raw skills and pass protection that I just – he was pass blocking a lot in Washington's offense this year, and this is a big, big potential road grading guard, and I just see – I mean, I fall in love with offensive linemen this type of year, and I just see, like, souped up Jonah Jackson in this guy as his ceiling. And it just came down to, I'm looking at, I think the way my board filled, yeah, the TJ Tampa and Kamari Lassiter were the top corners on the board. Chris Braswell was the top edge rusher left on the board. I looked at those three guys and I looked at Troy and I just was like, man, that's a Lions. That feels like a Lions player. When I watch him, that feels like a Lions offensive lineman. So I just saw a potential box checker for two, maybe three spots for him. And I just, that's a keeping a strength of strength.
I mean, that's maybe the best way to sum it up, Ben. I think there's probably some people out there thinking, wait, the Lions have a great offensive line and they're going to spend a first round pick on a guard, on an interior guy when, you know, they have corner, they need corner help, they need edge help. I think the possibility is much higher than people realize. I mean, this is a team that's built around its offense. Its offense is built around the run game and being able to protect Jared Goff. You need to protect Jared Goff at all costs. I mean, you know, 28 touchdowns and 3 picks last year when Jared Goff was kept clean. Things got a little messier when he wasn't kept clean. And I mean, you have to keep your strength to strength, as you said. And Graham Glasgow and Jonah Jackson are both free agents. I mean, what, in 2 weeks, if they don't get something done?
Oh, my
God. I know. Sorry about that. It's coming. It never stops. And then Taylor Decker is a free agent after this season. So there are both short-term and long-term considerations. And given the stakes of that position to this Lions offense, I mean, it's going to get meaningfully addressed, whether that's in free agency or the draft. You know, if you got 7 offensive linemen already off the board, as you do, maybe they find better value on day two. I'm not sure, but you need to have your guy up there. And if when I watched this guy play, I watched him a little bit. I had him going 27th, 2 picks before Detroit. He looks like a Lions offensive lineman. He's very physical, moves very well. I think he would fit in very well. One variable I'll point out, Ben, that you may not realize. Have you seen how old this guy is?
Yeah, no, he's already 23, man. I know.
have you noticed who is basically the same age as him by 2 days?
Yes.
Penei Sewell.
Yes, I have. I know. Penei Sewell. Looked it up and I was like, oh, this feels weird.
He's going into day. It's going. Penei's going into year 4, and these guys are the same age. And you know, like, ultimately, you want the best players possible. You're not trying to win an age contest, but it's a young man's league, especially when you're, you know, spending these draft picks on guys who are going to be around for 4 or 5 years and beyond. And the Lions have, like, as well as anyone, like, they really have prioritized youth. I don't know if Brad Holmes has ever come out and said it, but if you look at the guys he's taken at the top of the drafts, Jahmyr Gibbs, very young. I think he just turned 21. Like, Penei was the youngest guy in this whole draft. Jameson Williams, a young guy. I mean, they've definitely gone for high-end players who happened to be some of the youngest guys in their entire draft class. Troy Fautanu, this offensive lineman from Washington, is already 23. So just something to think about.
No, that's kind of – it's honest to God. That's kind of why him and the BYU cat kind of fell in my offensive line picks, because they are the oldest guys of the bunch. And I really freaking love this year's offensive line class from the top to the bottom of day two. I think there's some really good talent there, but just – I know, I was like, my God, he's the same age as Penei. And like, you hit the nail on the head, because like, Hendon Hooker is the only like not youthful guy that they've like really ever taken in the draft. And so, yeah, that's definitely a variable to watch for sure. But I just am like, you know what? 23 is still pretty young for a day one starter. So I was like, all right, he's not 25. At least he's not Chris Winkie coming in at 31.
As far as offensive linemen go, you know who my draft crush is on?
No,
Jackson Powers Johnson.
Dude.
Like, he is a nasty dude. Like, watch his film. Like, he is not kind. You know, he comes from the same program that produced Penei Sewell. They're both young guys. I think he allowed one sack in his career, or maybe zero. I don't have the number from me right now, but I wrote about it the other day. Can play guard or center. Has experience at both. He moved to center last year and then instantly won the Remington Trophy, which is given to the best offensive lineman in the country. In his first year at that spot, like, the kid can flat out play. He's physical. He's mean. As you can probably hear, he's a fit for the Lions. I just don't think he's going to be there at 29. It would take a move up the board.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, like, they moved up the board for Jameson. They moved down the board for Gibbs. Brett Holmes is okay with moving up and down the board. And it wouldn't surprise me to see a move up the board for either a corner or an offensive lineman, possibly an edge rusher. I think that's less likely, because I think you have to get into the top 10 probably to get one of these impact edge rushers, like a Dallas Turner or whatever. But yeah, it could happen. And when I watch Jackson Powers Johnson's game, that guy to me screams Detroit Lions offensive lineman. I just don't know if he's going to be there at 29.
Yeah, I sent him to the Steelers at 20 on vibes alone, just because he's a freaking destroyer in there for sure. But that's a good point. And I fully agree that they could trade up. If they fall in love with the lineman, they fall in love with the corner, a starting guy like that, for sure. Because while they're picking 29th in the first round, they do have four top 100 picks at 29, 61, 73, and 92. That's ammunition. This is a good team. You're looking for a couple key pieces to throw in here. You're not rebuilding the whole slate, so don't freak out if they do come out of this with less players than they have in recent years. But yeah, I agree with you. If they fall in love with somebody, especially like Jackson Powers Johnson, go up and get that man. If they fall in love with Kool-Aid or someone like a corner like that they're not sure is going to be at 29, go up and get that man. You know, 29 and 61, you can get up into the low 20s, I feel like, with an offer like that. So for sure, that should 100% be in the equation. I do think it will, because Brad is, like you said, he's been aggressive. I mean, that Broderick Martin trade up the order, that was aggressive. When they get a gut feeling, whether developmental or top flight talent, they go and try and get that dude.
Remind me, I think they might have traded up for Brian Branch too, right?
Yeah, that was like, I think that came through the Hawkinson trade. One of those picks got moved up for that. Yeah, exactly. Move back for Gibbs, move up for Branch, move up for JMO, move up for Martin. He moves all over the board.
You love the conviction, and we saw it. Mm-hmm. He talked to us the other week. Like, he took a victory lap that was well-earned, and I'm real curious to talk to him again this week at the Combine. I have to come pick up your sorry ass in, like, I don't know, a couple of hours, and I got to, like, pack and water my plants and stuff. So, good stuff, yep. Ben. Let's wrap this up. We're going to know a lot more about this NFL draft and these prospects and how they align with the Lions' needs. After a real crazy week here at the Combine, we'll be all over it at MLive with daily coverage. We'll be back with a podcast later in the week as well from Indianapolis. Ben, buckle up. It's going to be a wild few days.
Yeah, I'll see you for about 4 hours and then 7 days straight.